Welcome, everybody. This is the 11th. Yes, this one goes to 11 edition of the Matko and Kaz podcast. I'm Matt Kaz, and that is Bob. Hey, Bob.
Matthew, we've got so much to get to today.
We do.
Tennis and Djokovic and takeaways. I know you wanted to talk about the NFL.
Yep.
A great top five. Mm-hmm. Top five all-time shows about sports.
Yes.
TV shows about sports. Mm-hmm. And the big question, I think you want to tee off on Kyrie Irving a little bit, right?
It's not even just about Kyrie Irving. It's about power in general for players. And I'll say ahead of time, it's going to be it's a selfish take. It's a very selfish take by me,
and as opposed to usually.
I've been on brand.
Okay.
Yeah. So. we'll get to all that.
But before, I've got to explain something, and I have a question for you. Mm-hmm. And you're kind of like my Jiminy Cricket in a way, like in the sense that you're my moral compass, right?
Okay.
Like you act as my conscience in many things.
Yes.
Because I tend to be a bit curmudgeonly and prone to. I don't want to say distrust humanity. I just notice things about
you.
Us.
I'm
a noticer.
In terms of our cynicism, you have a higher level than me.
So help me out with this one.
Okay.
I am late to do the podcast this morning.
Yep.
By about 45 minutes.
Yes.
Because it was raining and I had to take a cab to get here. And the cab driver got so lost.
What?
So lost.
To get to the distillery district?
Now, here's the thing. If you don't live in Toronto, here's all you need to know about why Matt's shocked. I live on a major artery. Matt lives on a major artery.
Yeah, there's not a lot of turns.
It's almost directly straight. And I said to the guy, well, why don't you just take the highway across? And he said, well, you know, there's some construction. It could be a bit slow. I'm like, all right. Mm-hmm. So what was probably a 20-minute cab ride, generously, turned into about 55 minutes.
Oh.
And
oh, that's heavy. Like that, yeah, that's, yeah.
Okay, so here's the thing. At the end of all of it, he goes to me, I said, well, do you know where you're going? Because we were all over the place, as you can imagine.
Yeah.
And he said, look, I'll only charge you $15 for this. We get to the in front of your door. He charges me $20. Okay. It's not what we agreed upon, but okay. And I realized the whole time he's been listening to his earbuds. Like he hasn't even really, like he's just been listening to music the whole time while I've been stewing in the back.
Yeah.
Here's my question for you, Jiminy.
All right.
I couldn't not tip him.
Yeah.
I couldn't do it.
Yeah, I know.
Am I a sap? I gave him 10% because I couldn't do 15.
Yeah.
But
you gave him
a toonie. But that's not much of a punishment, right? Like if you only tip someone who has done a really absolutely garbage job and kind of BS'd you along the way.
I get it. I would have done the same thing.
I know, but are we saps then?
Here's the answer. Yes. And I'm glad. Because it's just part of the reason you did it is there's a level of empathy, and I don't mean this in a demeaning way towards anyone who's a cabbie, because you know you hear all the stories about coming from other countries and have all these degrees but don't have access to the job that they are intellectually fit to do. So I I'll sit in the back and I'll even just paint my own story of woe. So there's a level of empathy. It's like part of the reason you're tipping is like I feel like I'm in a better position than you. So I can't be a total jerk to you because you have a level of sympathy. Now, maybe that sympathy isn't needed, and maybe there's a little bit of pandering, or it's, you know, it can be seen as insulting. But I would have done the same thing with a tip as well. And by the way, 10%, that is the punishment. It's like, okay, 10%, I'm punishing you.
Have you noticed that when you get the prompts on the little machine when you put your card in to pay for stuff, that
three
the prompts,
options.
Yeah, and it's now gone 15, 18, 20, or 15, 20, 25.
Yeah, oh yeah. That's true.
When did the going rate for tips go up so much? Because well, it seemed to me it was just a short while ago. 15 was considered a good tip.
Yes.
And now it is considered a cheap tip.
Or it's average. Like now,
the bare minimum.
The bare minimum is becoming 15.
The level, you know, to get your cards at the table, the least you can offer up is 15%. I'm not imagining this, am I?
No. Okay. No, not at all. Okay. One quick thought. You know what I miss?
What do you miss?
I hate the machine.
You mean like the ATM machine?
No. At a restaurant when they bring you the machine, the 10, 15. I prefer the old one. They just gave the little leather thing. You open it up and the bill was there. And then you put your credit card in and you gave it back. And then they came back and then you just had to do the math. I miss that because there's a level of formality. And also what I don't like now is you have the waiter just peering over you, and they can't look, so they're looking away, and it's the same level of awkwardness as standing next to another guy taking a pee. I hate it. I don't like the machine.
It's a good analogy. You have to admit, though, just having one button to press does circumvent one of life's most awkward moments when you realize all your friends are terrible because they refuse to tip properly. Like, they get the two beers and they round down. Do you not hate the round down?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, God. Or the guy that leaves before it says, oh, here, let me leave my money. And they never leave enough. They never, ever leave enough.
They had pasta, an app, and two glasses of wine, and somehow they leave $30.
Yeah, like, yeah, 30, that'll cover
it. Yeah, it should cover it, right? Like, yeah. If you could just cover my tax.
I have a really high level of hate for those sort of people.
All right.
By the way,
that's who you hate. All I know is, Matt,
yeah.
I start off this program at a deficit. You're going to box me about the place.
Yeah.
Because I just walked out of a very uncomfortable situation, and I feel stupid and mad at myself.
No, you did the right thing. You did the right thing. I absolve you. By the way, speaking of awkward, there could be two people walking in here. I do a shared Airbnb. And I never saw them because I buzzed them in while I was already in bed. So there was someone here that stayed the other day. I buzzed in while I was in bed. So far, there's been three people over the last 2 days who have slept mere feet away from me, and I have no idea their identity. So.
Are they here now?
No, they're not here now. They're out.
Are you sure?
Yes, because I went upstairs. And the way I can tell is if I don't see any shoes by the front door, usually means there's no one here.
So if they walked in the front door in the next, say, 45 minutes, mm-hmm. you'd be meeting them for the first time.
Yes.
Even though they have slept here a few nights.
Yes.
This Airbnb thing is weird, man. It's really, really weird.
So just to give you a heads up.
All right. Shall we get to the takeaways?
Yeah, absolutely.
You start us off, buddy.
All right, let me get
or do you want me to, actually? Because I feel like I actually maybe could segue into this.
Sure.
Because my thing, my takeaway is Novak Djokovic is going to be out for the rest of the 2017 season. He's got a bad elbow. But my real takeaway is that rest is the new haves and have-nots of the sports world. If you are rich and powerful, you may have rest. If you are just trying to get by, you may not have rest. Let me explain.
Yeah.
When I heard that Djokovic was going down, I wondered in the back of my mind, how much did he pay attention to Roger Federer? And Federer slowing down his schedule, missing the French this year, taking 6 months off before the Australian to start the season. And, you know, geez, if you watched even 2 minutes of Wimbledon, all they talked about was how Roger took the time off to recalibrate his mind and body.
Yep.
Which you can do when you live in Dubai and London and Paris and Buenos Aires and wherever else he lives. The rich can do that sort of thing. Got me to thinking, though. You and I have talked about the idea of rest and the idea of being healthy a lot in sports.
Yes.
If you are just trying to get by, it is pretty hard to justify taking the time necessary to actually heal up an injury.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're worried about losing your spot.
Yep.
You're worried that even if you have a guaranteed contract, at the end of that contract, you're seen as someone who can't play enough. And so if you're just a guy, if you're somebody who could be subbed out for somebody else, and God knows the NFL is the king of that sport, you know, one man down, next man up.
Yep.
That you really can't afford the luxury of rest. You have to pretend you are better than you are to not lose your standing. But if you're rich and powerful, if you are one of the top athletes and the team depends on you, like you're a LeBron James.
Yeah.
And you're not really going super hard over the last 2 months, you know, of the season. Or you and I have talked about how Greg Popovich will sit guys and not even care about how they finish in the regular season. You can do that if you are rich and powerful.
Yes.
You can do that if you are one of the team leaders. And I wonder to what extent, because I think that gulf will widen in the future. I think teams will get really hip and smart to the idea you got to rest your stars for the playoffs. I wonder how much resentment that'll breed. For the guys who are like going in and their, you know, knee is swollen and they got to get it drained. And then some other guy's like, I got to be fresh for the playoffs. Going to take a breather.
It's a good point about the one thing I never thought about is, does that cause discord in the locker room when, yeah, the player that is got to kill it out there? Or do they realize the pure meritocracy of their sports? Like, well, I'd like to rest, but I can't do what he does. So I just got to do what I got to play all 82 games.
It's one thing when it's playing time. Mm-hmm. It's another thing maybe like how many touches you get or how many times you're targeted as a wide receiver versus how many times you got to block. But health is a bit different, isn't it?
When you think
I got to run through a wall and maybe shorten my career, but you know, Action Jackson over here gets to take a breather because he's getting ready for the playoffs.
Yeah. Is rest the ultimate secret weapon? also now? Because it seems to be like, you know, in sports now, it's, you know, how did LeBron win 2 years ago? Well, he was rested.
Right.
And, you know, and Steve Nash, his career resurrection was, I mean, it's a bunch of things, but one of it was he learned the science of sleep. And, you know, napping was as important to him as any other part of his training regimen was, you know, was
the Vancouver naps. Canucks under Mike Gillis employed famously now, but sleep coaches. To figure out how they could better manage all the travel they had to do from the West Coast across the continent.
Think about how people used to make fun of it. Sleep coach, you know, it's an easy joke. It's, you know, it's the, yeah, I have the image of a coach with, you know, the short shorts and the whistle around his waist, around his neck. He's like, all right, ladies, drop and give me 20 Z's. You call that a nap? You know, like, but now the sleep coach kind of makes sense.
I think that in the years to come, like not in the next one or two, but more like the next 10 and 20, we're going to see a reconsideration of how teams do rest because the players are just worth too much and the contracts are guaranteed.
And they're not going to cut back on the schedule. They'll never cut back on the thing, right?
There's only ever going to be more sport, not less.
It's one of the few things that owners and players all agree on is we don't want to cut the games down. That means we have to give. We don't get as much money.
Connor McDavid's not happy that they're not going to the Olympics.
Yeah.
Well, he's not happy they're not going to the Olympics because he hasn't had a deep playoff run.
Yep.
Then an Olympics. Then another deep playoff run. Then a World Cup. And he hasn't done that grinder yet. Let's see how he feels when he's 27 years old and he's had a few deep runs and he's banged up. And let's see how enthusiastic he is about going to Korea.
He could have been such a star, though.
I know.
Just, you know, because the Canadian team would be some of the celebrities. He's young, attractive, and it would have been his coming out party. Like this was going to be his debutante ball, and that is now all gone.
And Austin Matthews more so, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Just because of that American
and
audience.
On the American side. Woo!
Yeah. All right. So anyway, that is my takeaway after looking at Djokovic that the class warfare of rest is about to begin.
That's an interesting one. The NFL is the sport that everyone loves to hate. It's the easy one. Goodell's a good villain. The NFL, the horrible things they did with concussions in terms of not giving the information out there for so long. The way they've treated so many of the retired veterans when they could have given them so much more money in terms of pension. And, you know, just the 32 owners. I don't know what it is, but it seems like NFL.
Oh, let's not forget holding communities ransom.
Oh, I'm getting there. Okay, of course.
I didn't mean to jump the queue when it came to evil.
Yeah, the 32 owners. It feels like NFL owners are eviler than the other owners. You know, maybe it's because the game, the stakes are higher in terms of, you know, just injuries and what it can do to you. And then what they do to cities where they're like, I'm a billionaire, but I'm going to need $450 million from you.
Yeah,
and
just I'm going to need you to kick in a little extra on that. Tax bill.
Yet despite all of it, the top, and when you look at the sports TV ratings are out, or just the TV, no, just the TV ratings, not sports, just TV events, the NFL still rules with an iron fist. The top NBA TV moment was Game 5, Cleveland and Golden State. 19th on the list. There was 12 NFL games higher. All told, the NFL had 17 of the most watched 17 of the most watched, highest-rated broadcasts since the year began. And it's just interesting for me. I found that fascinating because as much as we talk about, the NFL's in trouble, and maybe it will be, but still, as of right now, the NFL is still king.
Were you at all surprised when you saw that? Because you seem a bit surprised, which surprises me because I know you think of the NFL as the king of the sports.
You know what it was? You know what made me realize is how it just how much the media, and I don't mean this in a negative way, but just how anti-NFL and always anti-football the media is. Because for the last year, we keep hearing over and over, and rightfully so. I'm not disagreeing with anything the press has said, but it's always Adam Silver, good. Roger Goodell, evil. NBA, progressive. NFL, evil. And so I sort of just, because I've had that so much in my life, I sort of forgot for a second. Oh, yeah. The media, I think, cares more about a lot of these issues than the fans.
Well, Tagliabue wasn't seen as evil.
No, but Goodell's been around for so long now.
That's kind of my point, is it feels like, A, hating the commissioner is a bit of a new phenomenon. And also, the longer you stay, the more baggage you keep with you. I think there's a lot of people in the hockey media who don't like Gary Bettman.
Mm-hmm.
but they might like the next guy who comes in. And you tend to do those big sweeping progressive things early in your tenure. Like Rob Manfred comes in and, you know, he's no longer Bud Selig and he gets to do those things that he always wanted to do. So you knock a couple fun ones off the top. Right? Like the first six months of everything, you know, Trump accepted, but...
Wait, hold on, though. One thought to interrupt. What was Goodell's thing? What was Goodell's fun? Yeah, let's make this game more fun, progressive thing. He never had one.
He never had one. No. His fun and progressive thing was to tighten up on revenue distribution.
Yeah.
Silver, of course, was able to jump in and put out a couple of early fires.
Yeah, he got rid of Donald Sterling.
That's the big one.
Which, by the way, was so easy. Hey, everyone, I'm going to get rid of the bigot. And it should have been done 20 years ago.
And so it looks bad on David Stern that all that happened under Stern's watch. But let's see where we're at in 20 years if Adam Silver still has that job. And who's gone along for the ride with him?
And has that new commissioner smell.
Ah, you love it. Oh, look at this. The tires are squeaking.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's that new commissioner smell.
But it goes to the idea of how much do fans care about concussions. The players should have full guaranteed contracts. Owners are greedy when it comes to stadiums. It feels to me the media cares a lot more about that than a lot of the fans. I think we talk about it more than what... Think of the NFL equivalent of Dark Guy.
You do talk radio, right, Matty?
I do.
And I have done talk radio with you. So that's the background we come from. Mm-hmm. We don't look for games to talk about. We look for issues to talk about.
Yeah.
Fans come to an event because they want the event.
Yeah.
You and I go to it looking for storylines.
Yep, that's true.
Because to give someone the score is useless. It's not 20 years ago when you could tell someone about a game that they didn't see.
Yeah.
And they had to come to you for information in that sense. Most of the people who listen to the radio show probably watch more sports than you do, I would think. Or if not more, certainly as much.
Yep.
You don't have any kind of privilege over them in the sense of what you have access to, except for storylines. That's your job, is to rake the coals and make storylines.
Yeah,
and I can understand why athletes and some fans don't like it, because it is a bit transparent. Mm-hmm. I remember when we used to be at Off the Record, I said, you know, I cheer for two things in the sports world, the Raptors and for someone to do something dumb.
Yeah, of course. Absolutely, because you would get more stories. You know, that's a good point, because we never wanted to do game story. Unless it was something like crazy that happened, game story gets a little bit old. It's like, oh, well, Osuna, his ERA is down to 1.96 and da-da-da-da. You know, unless you can take Osuna and turn it into a bigger picture. But you know what? Maybe the funny thing is maybe I shouldn't have been shocked that the NFL still just has so many of the top rated still in terms of ratings.
I'm really interested to see what happens when TV no longer pushes the dial the way it does now. Because to me, those numbers are as much about the power of broadcast television as they are about anything else. You know, you can still market the NFL as an event that happens at the end of the week. But as they start to fill the docket more and more, like the Thursday night numbers aren't as good as they had hoped, right? Mm-hmm. And if there were to be football every night, I think you would see some of those numbers would start to go down.
Yeah.
And that may wind up happening as the years go on. But it's still, I don't know. Let's see where we're at in 25 years and when we tabulate audiences differently, not just in terms of eyeballs registered, but things like impressions or how much of a game you watched.
Which is such the next step is in terms of just measuring, you know, what is the real value. But of course, if you're an NFL player, you're like, again, we should probably get paid more money.
Because
advertisers love us more than anything else. They crave the NFL because the NFL still consistently delivers eyeballs.
I can't wait to talk top five, because so much of what you're saying was essentially the last episode I watched of Ballers. Mm-hmm. Everything you say just feels like the 5-page outline of an episode of Ballers.
Yeah.
So when we do get to top TV shows about sports, we can get into that. Mm-hmm. Do you have any more takeaways for the week?
I had a really hot take.
Ooh, sizzling?
This was a hot take. Mm. Canadian.
I'll get my oven mitts.
Oh, no. It's not just an email address. That was such an inside joke. Only the two of us got that. The Canadian Open is going on right now. And it's at Glen Abbey. But then the news is, oh, well, this is the last time, because Glen Abbey is going to be redeveloped and they're going to build 3,000 homes. I'm going to be thinking, I think it's time to get rid of the game of golf. I think it's time to eliminate golf and eliminate all those golf courses, because in the city of Toronto, that population is going up higher than the national average. And we are dealing with housing shortages, and we are dealing with not enough affordable housing, and the rental market, the inventory is like less than 2%. And yes, of course, it's not like every golf course is suddenly going to have well-made and compassionately constructed affordable housing, but it's a waste of real estate. To quote from Caddyshack, golf courses and cemeteries, the two biggest wastes of prime real estate, said by Al Cervic, played by Rodney Dangerfield. And I was thinking about it. I mean, what's one way to fix it? Now, am I a hypocrite because I don't golf? Yes, yes, I am. I haven't got, last time I golfed was 1991. Get rid of the golf courses. It would alleviate some of the housing issues.
All right, so let's go a step further.
No more golf.
Not only is it a waste of prime real estate, but the upkeep that you have to have on that real estate. So the resources, the watering, the particularly the water issues.
And that's California.
And that's not such a big deal here. But exactly. When you go to like a drought-stricken state like California, or you go to Arizona, and you see they got to keep these courses hydrated, bog them down, soak them down. And there's people out there basically like coughing, and dust comes out of their mouth.
Yeah, it's like Tom Joad. It's like 20 feet away. But meanwhile, you know, you walk out of the house to get the
newspaper, and you hear... I couldn't whistle, but you get the joke.
Yeah.
I did my best. I wouldn't say get rid of all the golf courses, but do we need as many as there are?
The ones that there would remain would become so much wealthier because supply and demand.
Yeah, but who cares? Like, treat it like a yacht club. You know, there's a lot of people who love the game of golf. I don't get it. I'm with you. Look, this is an easy one for me to strike off the list.
Yeah.
Because you know how much golfing I did this year?
How much?
Zip.
Yeah.
You know how much I'm going to do next year? Likely the same.
Yeah.
And I even have a resort condo thing on a golf course.
That's right. You do.
Which is a weird thing to say.
Yes. You're a member of.
That's how little I think about golf is. I actually on a golf course that it never occurred to me I could golf.
Deerhurst owner Bob Mackowitz.
That is true.
And yes. And by the way, anyone listening who's a golf fan, I get it. You're yelling at me, and you should be, because I don't golf. I have no skin in the game, so it's easy for me to say get rid of it. But I had that hot take on the show today.
But why is it so hot, really? Because you could come out and say something like, I don't think that the, you know, let the team leave town if the city isn't going to build a new arena. You know, if the owner wants to play shotgun claws with the tax-paying public, then let them go. Like, why would that take be any hotter than people who say, I refuse to pay for arenas?
Well, I'm just saying get rid of the PGA. I'm not getting rid of the team. I'm getting rid of
all of it.
The whole construct. Golf.
Just destroy the whole sport?
Golf town. Done.
What about mini golf?
Mini golf can stay.
Mini golf, okay? Like, you still putt inside the windmill?
Bob, as someone who has invested in a small windmill constructing company, I need, you know, I put a lot of stock in that, so I need mini golf to survive.
Can we hit rewind for a moment?
Mm.
What?
No, I was kidding. I was making a joke.
Oh, okay. I don't know what your portfolio is. I'm sure it's quite diversified.
Bob, here's the thing. You know what's sad? I don't know either. When I go see my guy for my RRSPs, and I have to make sure I don't call them RSVPs, he'll start talking to me about what he's invested in and what's gone up. And I'm just nodding like a clown, trying to make it seem like I know what he's saying. I don't know.
My wife and I have a joint account. I think I've told you this before, but I make sure she's in the room when they're asking me the questions. And I mouth them out loud. So do I have a mortgage with this bank? And she'll like nod yes. Yes, I do. How much? When was the last time you made a withdrawal? And she'll be like, Thursday. Would it have been Thursday? Good. Thank you.
So it's
I don't know anything.
I'll tell one more little banking story.
All right.
And this is one of my most embarrassing ones. I was going to the bank, and I was very hungover. We need to start with that.
Okay.
Very, very hungover. And I was going to my bank to make a deposit to pay off like 3% more of my mortgage. I was going to take a chunk of money that I'd saved, just pay off some more of the mortgage. So I go to the bank, I wait in line, get to the front, explain to the guy, hi, my name is Matthew Cause, and this was at my last condo. I live at 25 Richmond Street. I'd like to pay off more. And I pushed the check and he was staring at me. He didn't know what I was talking about. I said, yes, I explained, I'm a member of this bank and my mortgage is with you. And he started asking me these questions like, what are you talking about? And I'm hungover and angry and tired. And finally, I just stared at him. And for 9 seconds, one, two, for 9 seconds, we stared at each other. And, you know, he's like, so you want to give this money to the bank? Yes. This isn't your bank. This is Royal, Scotia's next door. I had gone into the wrong bank.
I think you have the winner there, Matt. I think you have the winner.
Anyway.
That's pretty good. How hungover were you?
Pretty hungover.
Pretty hungover. And like, but wait, were you still hungover or were you still drunk?
No, I was hungover. Now, no, by the way, I didn't drive anyway because I could walk around. But I was hungover.
Have you ever, like, what's the difference between being really hungover and still kind of drunk? Like, how do you know for sure which is which? Do you ever have that shower conversation with yourself where you say,
yes,
am I still tipsy or am I just in pain?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think you could, if you ride programs could go at 6:30 in the morning and get someone that got, you know, was out drinking and they got 5 hours sleep and they'd probably still blow over.
I wonder
about that.
I wonder about that all the time because I wonder what that would do to the bar industry. If you found out that you still would blow over the next day, even if you got a lift home.
Yeah.
I think that, you know, for the sake of safety, there's no other way to do it, really. But you make a great point. I've heard stats that suggest there's a lot of people who still, a night after a good bender.
Yeah.
Like, not necessarily like a glass of wine or two at dinner. But if you're out there and you're giving her.
If you go to bed real drunk at 1 a.m.
You're probably waking up at 7 still
inebriated
to a degree.
Yep.
Eerie thought. Mm-hmm. Have you ever done the show drunk?
No. Oh, no, no,
I've
no.
seen you walk in a couple times, not look fresh as a daisy.
I've been hungover, but oh god, no.
Are you sure though? Because this is the conversation.
Yeah, you know, right? What that, well then I guess no, I don't know, but you know, I've certainly done the show, you know, hungover, where actually in some ways it's harder to tell because sometimes I'll put more energy because you got to overcompensate, because the moment you sit you just start to lose it all, so you gotta sometimes you have to bring more energy.
I used to watch
show.
You work really hard right after the show was done because you knew you'd be going out that night and you tried to get as much work done as you could before we left the office.
Oh, yeah.
I always thought, well, tomorrow's going to be a beaut. It's 11. It's 1 o'clock and he's still going.
Yeah, he's prepped. You want to do top five?
Yeah, let's do it. So the idea is I was watching Ballers this week on HBO, mm-hmm. and it was the beginning of season 3. I'm not a huge fan of Ballers, but it was on. Mm-hmm. It was after Game of Thrones, and I watched it, and I kind of liked it, actually. But it got me to thinking. There aren't that many great TV shows about sports.
There aren't.
There's a ton of movies. It's a whole genre of movies, the sports movie. And if we were to do a top five of sports movies, we might get into fisticuffs because there are so many great ones.
Oh, yeah.
But then it occurred to me, there haven't been that many great TV shows about sports. I got some theories on why that is, but we decided to do what is the definitive top five all-time TV shows about sports. Mm-hmm. And by the way, that doesn't include magazine shows. Like Pardon the Interruption or Baseball Tonight or the CFL on TSN. Like, it's not people talking about sports. It has to be scripted.
Yes.
Fictional.
Mm-hmm.
You want to go?
Yeah, I will go with my list. Now, part of my list is actually, are documentaries allowed? Because I wanted to throw on
30 for 30.
I wanted to throw 30 for 30.
I think we should allow docs.
Yeah. Yeah, I would 30 for 30 would probably be my number one choice.
Yeah. If we allow it.
If we allow it.
Okay, well, let's just say for argument's sake, we do allow it, even though it kind of goes against the speech I just gave.
It goes a little against it. Number five, coach.
Mm-hmm. Craig T. Nelson.
Craig T. Nelson, college football coach in Minnesota. I remember one episode where he was really giving it to one of his cornerbacks. He's got a tackle, and then the player and then the cornerback in the second half tackled the hell out of this one running back, and the running back was taken off on a stretcher. Coach learned a lesson that day. So,
was it a very special episode?
It was a
of
very
Coach?
Special edition of Coach. So, I got Coach at number five. Number four, a show that wasn't really around. It was only around for a couple years. Do you remember the show? It was created by Aaron Sorkin. Do you remember Sports Night?
Are you kidding? That's my number one.
No, your number one Sports Night, where the season finale was at the it was centered around the NFL draft. So at number four, I've got Sports Night.
It was basically the behind the scenes of Sports Center.
Yeah.
It's like what he tried to do with Studio 60 or Studio 60 on the Sunset Strip. Is that what it was called?
Sort of, but it was the other trying to do Saturday Night Live.
Okay, let's say for argument's sake, it was like what he tried to do with The Newsroom.
Yeah, exactly.
About 20 years later.
A pretentious gas bag of a show. Oh, my God. You want to talk about virtue signaling? The entire show
but
is
that Emily Mortimer.
Hey, it's a lot of good performance. It's a really well done bad show.
That's a good way to put it.
It's a really well done bad show.
We should
do
that one another day. Mm. Top five good bad shows.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So it continues. So you've got Coach. You've got Sports Night
coming in at number three. Hulk Hogan, Rock and Wrestling.
Mm.
The car 80s cartoon. As a kid, I loved that cartoon. I remember when Nikolai Volkoff had to teach the Iron Sheik how to drive because the Iron Sheik didn't have a driver's
Lou
license.
Lou Albano was
Captain
in it.
Lou Albano, prominently featured. And it was one of the things when you saw Hulk Hogan, it's like, oh, look, Hulk's here. You know, it's like, well, they drew him. Of course, it's right there in the title.
But he was such a big star. It was exciting to see him, even in comic form.
Yeah.
Good pick, Matt.
At number two, Eastbound and Down.
Right.
How can you not have it? Kenny Powers. I mean, just brilliant show. Danny McBride. Just a great swearer. Will Ferrell, you know, in his role is fantastic. And I love the first season when he's just on the jet ski with the topless girl on the back. And, like, nothing says... nothing says trash quite like, you know, the guy, the wearing the sleeveless
topless on a jet ski.
Yeah, topless on a jet ski, and he's, you know, the gut, the sleeveless shirt, just on the jet ski.
The bad curly fro.
Yeah.
Yeah, everything about it.
And number one for me, as I said, 30 for 30.
Okay, so let's park 30 for 30 now and go back over some of the picks, because I don't think any of them were bad. I didn't watch Coach, but here's my problem with Coach. Coach was about football.
Yep.
I think one of the reasons why TV shows about sports for so many years didn't work is because they felt so phony.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, I like Hang Time. Do you remember Hang Time from Saturday morning on NBC?
Yeah.
There was like the kids and they played, you know, there was the girl on the team and the court was about the size of your, about the size of your condo.
Yeah.
Because, you know, studio space is expensive. But it always felt like just an adult version of that. Like it was silly and had nothing to do with sports. Now, flip that around, Eastbound and Down. That feels like it's real.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Like these guys, this is raw. This is real. Don't you wish they would make a show like that about hockey? The hockey shows, they've all been pretty clunky. The Québécois did Les Boys, which is sort of like that.
How would Canadians feel about, because, you know, a lot of Canadians just mythologize hockey. And by the way, I'm not saying that in a negative way. Hey, if you can, you know, if you want to mythologize and it brings peace and goodness to your life, knock yourself out. But would fans want a down and dirty version, like an Eastbound and Down?
People loved Goon. People loved the movie Goon, yep. Jay Baruchel's movie, and they loved it because it was kind of like Letterkenny that way.
Yeah.
It was kind of just, you know, mooks with sticks.
Yeah, you know, I wish there
but
was.
You know who wouldn't like it?
Who?
Sponsors.
Yep.
Because the sponsors want the sanitized Timbits Sidney Crosby version of hockey because it sells. But yeah, I'm waiting for somebody to get that right on a TV show.
Well, it's why I had Coach at number five, because it's a hard list to do if you don't get America's Game on the NFL Network or PTI or Highly Questionable. You know, if you can't have some of those shows on it.
One that was missing, and this is a show, I think Bill Simmons talks about this,
White
too.
White Shadow?
But yeah.
I never watched it. It was before my time.
Right. But for those of us who are old enough to have watched The White Shadow, they need to bring that show back. It was inner city Chicago. It was a guy played by Ken Howard who would eventually be the big boss on 30 Rock.
Mm-hmm.
But he was a coach, and he had these inner city kids, and they were great. Coolidge, Thorpe, Salami, and... it was kind of like it was like Hoop Dreams, but not quite as gritty or real.
Yeah.
But it had that feel to it. Oh, it was the best, Matt. That show was the best. That show got me into basketball.
Really?
Well, because I watched The White Shadow. But you know, they never televised NBA games back in the day.
No, there'd be the
they had the finals on tape delay back in the day.
Yeah, that is true.
That is pretty bad. So yeah, that show probably got me into basketball. Mm-hmm. The White Shadow.
Yeah.
So good.
No, past my, like, I saw it on all the lists when I was, you know, just doing my research.
Right.
But I'm like, I never watched it. You know, it was never part of my childhood.
You know, here's an unconventional one. You know who might be the best ex-athlete character on a show?
Mm.
Sammy Malone from Cheers.
Yeah.
He was a reliever with the Red Sox.
Yes.
Mayday Malone.
Oh, my God. That's a great one. Absolutely. And, I mean,
and he said to the whole guys at the bar, mm-hmm. And what was I famous for when I played?
Yeah.
I don't know, chasing anything in a skirt?
Yeah.
Rolling out of bed drunk at 11 o'clock every morning? No, guys. It was coming through in the clutch.
Groin injury. Injury. And by the way, for people yelling Friday Night Lights, I never watched the TV show.
I didn't watch it either.
I love the movie. The book is just mine. It's just so good. But
I never get into Friday Night Lights? It makes no sense.
Well, because I don't know. There's only so much time. There's only so much time to watch so many TV shows. You can't watch everything.
Before we do the big question, should we do a quick Game of Thrones recap?
Sure.
Did you watch episode 2?
I did.
How are you feeling about it?
I'm feeling good.
Oh, by the way, look, if you haven't watched it, it's already Thursday. Spoilers ahead.
Is that all right to do spoilers with already...
Matt, you and I have had this conversation many times.
Yeah, I know.
You distilled it into my head that it's 72 hours.
Yeah.
72 hours is the grace period for no spoilers. Well, we're outside of that now.
That that ship fight near the end was nuts. And Theon?
Theon.
In his own way, he's so despicable. Or I don't know. Should I feel bad for him that he that,
I
that
feel
he was having
so badly okay, for him? So, he was so tortured by
yeah,
that son
no,
of
you're
a
right. no,
bitch,
you're,
Ramsay.
Yeah, no,
am
you're
I
right,
allowed
you're
to
right.
say that?
Yeah, you are. You all are. Right. Yeah. Okay, you're right. You know what? No, he was suffering from PTSD at that moment when
they
he should've
cut his dong off. By the way, have you noticed how many guys don't have their dongs on this show?
A lot of nong dongs.
No dongs.
Yeah. No. Yeah.
There was like two guys with no dongs in Daenerys' castle. Like, yeah. What are the odds of that?
I know. Yeah, it's true.
That seems like a very cruel punishment.
Yeah. Seems a little, well, yeah, there's a lot of things. Well, everything back then is a cruel punishment. But I thought it was great. The episode, happy with it throughout. And I can't wait for the next, like when Jon Snow finally meets Daenerys. Isn't that what we're all waiting for?
So here's why I'm loving it. Is some of the art is gone. Some of the pacing is gone. Some of the majesty of tiny little
But they're only
moments
doing seven
gone.
Episodes. So they that...
You know what? If I may borrow a quote from Jalen Rose, give the people what they want.
Yes.
They are basically tying up all these stories. They're not doing a Mad Men where the last season introduces a new character that Dawn may or may not be in love with that we never see again. I don't want that.
Yeah.
I want to see Jon Snow and Daenerys, and that's coming up in a few days.
Yes, it is.
Get your popcorn ready.
I want to see them on a dragon killing White Walkers, and they're high-fiving each other.
You know what they're not going to do? Mm. They're not going to do a Seinfeld, where in the final episode, they do something completely off-brand.
Yeah.
They are just, they're throwing this thing into the action accelerator.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they are.
And it is sweet.
And I'm loving it. Yeah, absolutely. I've had enough, you know, just calm tones or just brooding or alluding to things that
Arya
are going to happen.
Arya and the Hound for a season-long walk.
Yeah, yeah. Done with that. It's killing.
I want to see enormous ships crash into other ships and fires.
Mm-hmm. And we finally
and
had
cannonballs.
And we, you know what, the first
dragons.
Yeah. And we had nipples in this one. We had no nipples in the first one. It was good because I was thinking to myself, where can I see nudity? And
well,
I went on
nudity
my
nudity in the first one. The old guy had his boner out when he was getting the autopsy. So there was an old guy boner.
Yeah, that's not nudity for me.
Well, it is nudity.
It's not good nudity. Bad nudity.
It's not nudity. It's male nudity.
Yeah. Which is just, well, aesthetically, it's not for me.
Nah.
Sorry, ladies.
How long do we have before we're trying to get this under an hour? How long do we have?
We're good. We're good. We can get into the big question and dive into it.
All right. Shall we?
Yeah.
All right. So just so you know, Cause phoned me, or maybe
I emailed you.
But yeah, you emailed me.
You'd pick up your phone.
That's true. Unlikely story.
Yeah.
So, and he said, I'm not happy about something. So it felt like a good reason to do a big question. Cause, do you want to explain the source of your unhappiness?
The source is, actually, it's not even just about Kyrie Irving. It's actually about the Milwaukee Bucks. Because I know how to get ratings here. Hot Milwaukee Bucks talk. All the talking heads, because all they talk about in the offseason is the NBA. And by the way, I was going to go off on a tangent. But what they were talking about was Giannis. And about how much longer, 4 more years. I wonder where he's going to go after that. I'm like, it's 4 more years. Let the Milwaukee Bucks fans be happy. Don't let them have the insecurity of where they enjoy the player, but then they're like, ooh, that was great. Too bad eventually he's going to be gone. He's going to leave our city because he doesn't like where we live. And I just felt bad for all the fans of so many different franchises across North America. And I am tired of the players having all this power. And it's wrong, and it's hypocritical of me, but I don't care. I'm going just fully what I want. And, Bob, I have a proposal. I got a proposal for the NBA. Hey, players. Okay, players, gather around. All right. Take a knee. You're all going to get 20% raises. Whatever you're making now, you're going to get a 20% raise. And we are going to invest so much more money in making sure you're healthy. We're going to invest so much money when you retire that you are going to be able to transition. We are going to get rid of 60% of NBA players go broke. We are not going to let that happen. Not on our watch. Adam Silver won't let that happen. So you get all these wonderful things. There's just one teeny tiny thing. We're really not going to let you move very much unless, you know, our writers, our WWF writers that we're going to hire to help create off-season storylines allow it. I'm tired of players moving. Tired of it. End it right now.
So what is it you don't like about it exactly?
I'll tell you. The NBA, the offseason is now more interesting than the regular season and even the playoffs. And while that might be fun now, project where that's going to be. Eventually, there's only going to be about 5 or 6 relevant markets. And I know this has happened in the past, but at least, you know, the Lakers and the Celtics, you know, would get pushed around a little bit in terms of winning titles. And I see 75% of the league is going to become irrelevant. And this offseason has been so interesting. But then I thought about it. Is it good for sport if your offseason is more interesting than even your playoffs? That to me seems dangerous.
I think it's great, to tell you the truth. I think that it's the future of sport, and it acknowledges, maybe not even by design, but by accident, as lots of things tend to happen, that the regular season in most sports is pretty boring. The NFL is different because you only have 16 games, right? So that's different. But if you look at the other major sports, like the regular season is pretty boring, Matt. If your team's really good, usually by the time you're in the last 15% of the season, you're slowing it down, trying to keep everyone healthy. Teams fighting hard to get those bottom seeds. Like, that's kind of interesting, but you also know they don't really have a chance to win.
But
the regular season is overrated in a lot of ways.
Oh, of course.
The way it's set up now. But what we do have, what keeps it interesting, isn't the games. It's the stories. Stories is what makes it interesting. I feel like what the NBA has done, it's created a platform for this thing to take on a life of its own. And by this thing, I mean the NBA itself. If all you have to offer is the entertainment on the court, you don't have enough.
True.
Not in this world.
Oh, yeah, no, listen. I like the offseason. I like the soap opera. But there's a certain percentage. And here's the thing, Bob.
Is this because you're a Toronto Raptors fan and because this fan base has been decimated by players leaving in the past or the fear of players leaving
Well, that's
the past?
Part of it. But that's for, I have empathy for almost all fan bases.
Yeah, but you know what? Masai Ujiri comes in and look who sticks around. Kyle Lowry sticks around. DeMar DeRozan sticks
around. Kyle Lowry stuck around because there wasn't a better option.
Well, that may be true, but DeMar DeRozan stuck around and there were other options.
They also paid him a lot of money.
They did, but you can't say that the core that they built didn't stick around. In a lot of these small markets, it wouldn't be so bad if their ownership was better. It always comes down to the owner. So, you know, cry me a river about how you can't hang on to your stars.
There's a bigger thing here, Bob. And I agree with you. The regular season, it is overrated. What did we have in the postseason? We had one team losing one game, Golden State. And we had Cleveland, who lost one game in the Eastern Conference, in all the Eastern Conference playoffs. That game was by 3 points. They beat the number one seed Boston. They were up by 50 at one point. And the Golden State Warriors are already the greatest favorite to win in the year after, like the moment's done. And so we already know what next year's going to be. It's fine if the regular
season. What'd you think of the 85 Chicago Bears? Boring team? Boring team to follow?
Football's different.
But in general, when you look back historically at the 85 Bears, you don't say they destroyed everyone. And in the Super Bowl, I think they, what did they win? 46-10 over a Steve Grogan-led New England Patriots?
Yes. And Tony Eason.
Right, and they lost one game. They lost one game all year, which I believe Monday was to the Dolphins,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, Monday night against Miami.
So you don't look back at this and say, well, that team was so dominant, they rolled over everybody, and it was boring. You say that team was dominant, and we will remember them forever because they were so interesting.
We will. They were interesting. The problem is...
And these Golden State Warriors are interesting.
To me, they're interesting, but the league isn't. If I know what's going to happen, I lose interest. And
that's a very small sample size because this is a team that almost... like. They lost to Cleveland the year before.
And Draymond Green kicked out for a game. Steph Curry injured.
Things happen. Yes. And the year before that, you can't tell me that the Cavs wouldn't have been in more. Like, basically LeBron and his buddies. You know, Kyrie Irving was out. Kevin Love was out. And even with Matthew Dellavedova, they managed to push them to 6 games. Yeah, so there was every chance there that they could have won that. So you can't. I don't buy the argument that the Golden State Warriors have been a dominant, unbeatable team for the last 3 years.
Who's been in the finals the last 6 years, 7 years? LeBron James. And now listen,
he's the best player in the world. Nobody cries about how Michael Jordan was dominant
Bob,
in his
this
era.
Isn't about crying. Okay, how many teams do you think can win the title next year?
I always think going into the season it's 4 or 5.
You really believe that?
Yeah, I really do. Because
this is how you and I are different. There's only one team. It's Golden State. They re-signed everyone.
They have the best chance, but you never know. Injuries happen.
Yes. Asterisks. Barring catastrophic injuries. Last year, we knew it was going to be Cleveland and Golden State, and it was. This year, we know it's going to be...
So let me ask you this. Which do you prefer? The NHL playoffs where, oh, look, it's going to be Ottawa versus Anaheim. I never saw that coming. Mm-hmm. Look, an 8 seed made it all the way to the playoffs.
Yep.
Made it all the way to the final. Do you prefer that to the two best teams in the league wind up facing off to determine who is the absolute best? I kind of like it, Matt. Now, I will give you this. The run for Golden State and for Cleveland was too dominant because they were blowing everybody away, and there was no real moment where they
were
tested.
There's nothing else.
Where they were,
and then when they
but
met... And when
Kawhi
they
Leonard
met,
going down in that first game...
There was no way. Look at that roster. Look at that San Antonio roster and look at that Golden State roster. Okay? Golden State had at least two players that were better than Kawhi Leonard. And then it'd go Kawhi, and then the next five would all be Golden State.
The idea of building super teams is simply the future. And the players are a big part of it. There was this great story circulating about Derrick Rose. Now that he's gone over to the Cavs and it looks like Kyrie Irving's time there is probably done. But Derrick Rose goes over, and they were telling a story about how in 2010, when it was time to court LeBron the first time...
He didn't do it.
He didn't want to do it. Okay. He didn't want to do it. He wound up sending him a text, and it was kind of just like a make my owner happy kind of text, right? But he didn't want to call him up and kiss his butt because he thought, I should be trying to beat this guy.
Yeah.
Instead of trying to join this guy. And that's an old school mentality that we really like, but the league isn't really like that. These guys talk, and they want to build super teams.
Is that... Now, project...
But is that so wrong?
I think it is.
Why?
Because it's going to make you can't enjoy in Milwaukee. You can't enjoy that your favorite player because you know in the back of your mind he's gone.
Are you not waiting to see what Houston is going to do with Chris Paul and James Harden?
Not really. Two ball dominant players who've never been out of the second round of the playoffs.
There's a rumor that Carmelo Anthony might actually go to Oklahoma
OKC.
City.
Yeah.
Well, imagine that. Where if you had Paul George, Russell Westbrook, and Carmelo Anthony on this,
and you're going to get them for 1 year, and then they're going to go.
Yeah, but that's fine because the Jays basically built a super team for a year or two, and they won 2 World Series, and everybody loves it. Like that's called going for it.
What about the 75% of teams that are irrelevant?
Yeah, but you know what? Then work harder to get better, right? Like you just. It is.
Let me ask you this. How does Milwaukee get better?
They got Giannis. Keep him and build around him. If Giannis
what
winds
if
up
he
being
doesn't,
the,
they,
yeah, but what if? Like, what are you going to do? Like, you're going to blame players for exercising their rights to want to belong to winners.
Bob. At no point did I blame. I asked you a question not about players'
you
rights.
You said take away their rights to go away.
Yes, I do want that. But I want to give them 100 other things.
You'd be great at a CBA table.
How do any of these teams, because you can build as much as you want, but eventually the player's going to leave because they're going to want to go to the super team. And there's only 2 or 3 relevant teams in the NBA.
Okay, is Houston a super team market?
No.
Because they have put together over the last 20 years different runs where they had really good teams. And they've won championships when they had Akeem, but...
In 1994 and 95.
Now, they're getting better with cap management in terms of building these super teams. And, players have to take haircuts in order to make it work. Mm-hmm. I don't know why we don't like this. Like, I don't get it. If it's the opposite of the greedy player.
Oh, this has nothing to do with the character of the player. This has everything to do with the league is so predictable. It is so predictable.
Well, Kyrie Irving shouldn't make you unhappy then, because if he was going to be predictable, he would stay with LeBron. If anything, he's the opposite because he's like, I need my own team and I don't want to live in this guy's shadow.
Oh, it's not about his. He represents what's happening and what's going to continue to happen. And again, I say this off the top, this is selfish. What I enjoy in sport, part of what I enjoy is the unpredictability. Yes, I don't like it always in the NHL when it's, this crappy team versus this team that got lucky.
And also at the trade deadline or free agent frenzy when all the expected things happen.
You know what I'd like in the NBA? I'd like a couple years of that. And then I want a couple years, the dynasties are back. Because I'm going to appreciate that dynasty more? They lose a bunch of years.
So let's chart LeBron's career, because LeBron is the dominant player of this last generation.
Yep.
Right? Starts with Cleveland, goes as far as he can.
Yep.
And jumps ship and goes to Miami, becomes the league's biggest villain.
Yes.
Wins there.
Yep.
Then at the end of that tenure, goes back to Cleveland, becomes the NBA's biggest hero. Now we're watching that tenure go down, and we're like, where's he going to go next? That is a fascinating career arc
it
to
is.
Follow.
Of course that's fascinating.
So what is not to like about that?
I already told you.
I know, but...
I already told you.
But
there's
as a
nothing
fan...
Else to add. As a fan, yes.
As
I
a fan,
I enjoy
how do you
that.
Not enjoy that? Doesn't that make you like the league more? Doesn't that take you out of the provincialism in a way? Because in order to follow the NBA, you follow the NBA. The NHL is the exact opposite. The NHL is the most provincial league of all the big four. You've got your team, and you basically just follow the other teams when they roll through town. There isn't any... I mean, there's this great myth about how Canadian fans follow all the Canadian teams. I couldn't give two... hoots about what happens out in Vancouver, except that I like that they're falling apart. But but there's this great mythology that once my team is out, then I'm going to follow the Canadian teams. It's not the case. I think the NBA is the league where you probably, as a fan, follow the league the most closely. Maybe the NFL because of the size of it. Maybe the NFL because of the size of it. But that's only going to grow in the NBA because of player movement.
And that's going to lead to even less and less randomness. It's just going to lead to even more predictable. I don't like predictable.
But
that's it.
But to me, I don't know, like, to define the NBA as predictable is a very specific definition.
Yes.
And you are cutting out all different kinds of unpredictability that are also interesting.
All right. I guess
I'm just going to have to disagree with you on this one. To me, and you know this, I think the NBA is the most interesting 12-month-a-year league of them all, and it's not even close. And the only thing that kind of resembles it is the transfer period for soccer around the world. And you know how people get into that? They love it. And you know what they don't cry about? The fact that every league has a couple powerful super teams and everybody else is fighting to stay in.
All right. I guess, in the end, that's the difference between you and I. I love the offseason. I love drama. I love the circus. To me, it's gotten too much in the NBA, and I don't like the league. What I don't like with the league, and I still, I mean, I watch the NBA all the time. You know how much we cover. I mean, look how much we cover basketball on every one of these shows. I don't like the predictability. I'd love to get rid of it. I'd love to do is take every great player and just full dispersal draft, and everyone goes somewhere else so that at the very, I don't need that sort of parity where every year anyone else can win. What I need is more than two.
I just remembered a really great TV show about sports.
Well, which one?
Did you ever watch Showdown back in the day during intermissions when they would have players from all over the league compete against each other? It'd be like hardest shot or knocking out targets in the second intermission. And also Peter Puck. Peter Puck was pretty great.
Yeah.
They've never been able to find a way to bring back
Peter Puck. The Wayne Gretzky. Remember the
Pro Stars.
Pro Stars.
That was one of the ones I was going to mention.
Stars.
So here's a question, and we can throw this out. End on this, all right?
Yeah.
Because you and I don't agree on the other thing, but that's fine. We've both said our piece.
Yeah.
If you were going to do Pro Stars today, because back in the day it was Gretzky, Jordan, Bo Jackson. I can't remember anybody else right now. But if you were going to do Pro Stars today, who would be your Pro Stars lineup?
Ooh, okay. Well,
it's got to be LeBron.
It's LeBron James.
That's who from baseball?
If it's the best player, it is Mike Trout, but obviously it's going to be Aaron Judge because he's a Yankee.
I was thinking Aaron Judge. Is it Bryce Harper's not lovable enough?
No.
But he's a great player and he's a big personality.
He's a much bigger personality than Trout, but not as good a player.
It would have been Jeter.
Yeah.
But now Jeter's gone.
Yeah.
And there hasn't been anyone to really take that spot over.
Yeah.
See, that's interesting. Baseball doesn't really have anyone, does it? Maybe Clayton Kershaw?
He's out for 6 to 8 weeks. He's a pitcher once every 5 days. He's brilliant.
Hockey. Who does hockey have to offer? It'd be Sid, right?
Yes, it's Crosby. I mean, once again, I asked the question about Crosby. What do you know about him?
I know he's from Cole Harbour.
What else do you know?
He's pals with Nathan MacKinnon, who's also from Cole Harbour.
Think about that. The biggest star in all of Canadian sports. No one knows a thing about him.
But he's played his whole career in Pittsburgh. What a hero. So fascinating.
Yes, and guess what? Do you know who's going to win the Stanley Cup next year?
I don't.
Exactly. Exactly. And Your Honor, I rest my case.
Okay. And which team are you really excited to see next year going into the season, apart from the Leafs, because it's your home team? Of the other 30 teams in the league, who are you really excited to see how that's going to work out?
I'm not. I just want to see the Leafs.
Yeah, exactly.
Leafs, baby.
And
Marner.
Your Honor, I rest my case.
Yeah, well, guess what, Bob? The glove don't fit. By the way, before we end, you know what's really sad?
What?
Is I've seen so many more episodes of Pro Stars than of either that Friday Night Lights, which apparently is like a really good show, or, you know, so many.
Friday Night Lights looks great, but you should never apologize, Maddie, for the things that you enjoy.
Pro stars. Oh, in football, it'd be Tom Brady.
Oh, yeah, right, of course. Yeah. Yeah, it would be. Would it be Tom Brady?
Yeah.
Yeah, it would have to be,
yeah,
right?
It's got to be Tom Brady.
Hmm. Be interesting to see how that would all switch up in 5 years, though. The NFL doesn't really have a budding star, does it? Like, J.J. Watt plays defense. And the defensive NFL players just,
yeah,
don't
but
get
it,
the
it
same
it doesn't
love.
Matter. That's
it's
got to
be a quarterback, right?
Yeah, it's always a quarterback. It's Aaron Rodgers. Once it's, you know, it's Aaron Rodgers. Hopefully
he's older now.
Yeah, hopefully Cam Newton bounce and that whole team bounces back. Because it could be Cam Newton's.
Pro stars, they put him in a mink coat.
Oh, yeah.
That'd be
good.
So good.
So, Bob, next week is the All Listener. What's going on?
I'm
next
on
week
vacation, show? And so we're going to pre-tape something, which is going to be just listener interaction. People have been sending in their questions.
Yeah.
I think it very likely will be the stupidest thing we have done in a really long time. Fair to say?
I would agree with that. It's a hell of a promo.
As dumb as you think we are on most given days, you ain't see it. Hold my beer.
Exactly.
Hold my beer.
Goodbye, Bob.
Bye, Matt.
Check it out.